This evening's scripture reading will come from Proverbs 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited.
Evening, everybody. I should try to hurry because there's some big sporting event coming up. Actually, it's Six Nations. Rugby starts in a couple of weeks, so be ready for that. Go Scotland, but all right. We talked about here Proverbs 24:10 about strength. We want strength here. And that's what the sermon is about tonight. We want to be strong here. We go over in the book of Mark, though. Mark, the 12th chapter. And Jesus is asked a question here. We look at Mark 12 and verse 28 there. Mark 12 and 28. It says that one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Then Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all of the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." Then Jesus saw that he answered wisely and said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him. Matthew 22 and verse 40, which says that all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So with our heart and mind and soul, and we develop a desire to love God and our fellow man, but we're going to need to build up our strength to carry these things out there. You know, this strength is both mental strength as well as physical strength. They go hand in hand to develop our overall strength in it. And if our strength is bad, then we're going to be failing here. That's what Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. When things happen to us, which they're going to happen to us, and we're going to have trials, tribulations, things are going to not go our way. If we just give up right there, that's because our strength is way too weak there. We don't have enough strength to get through this thing. You know, so we're all expected to work. We're all supposed to be doing things here. Look over there in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and he gives us a thing. And I just wanted to say, I'll point this out again. You know, the work that we do work as a church here collectively, but there's a lot of it is individual work. You know, I can't sit on the work that you guys have all done. I can't be goofing off and say, you know, stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and say, what do you got to say, man? Our congregation, man, we did a lot of work. We did all kinds of stuff. Just look at all the stuff we did. We said, well, did you participate? Well, no, I wasn't participating. But our congregation has got well known in the whole community. We were really kicking along. And if you look, you'll find my name in the directory. And that does not count there on that. It's going to be an individual thing here. We look over at Matthew 24. And let's see, verse 45 of Matthew 24. Verse 45, he says, Who is that faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give him food in due season? Blessed is that servant who his master, when he comes, finds so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him a ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying in his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portions with the hypocrites. there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth there. So we look at that, you know, we expect, God expects us all to be doing our part. And we don't know when God's going to be coming, when Jesus is going to be coming. And we want to be prepared for that day. We look over in Colossians, the first chapter. First chapter of Colossians, and in verse 21 there. Colossians 1 and verse 21, talking about doing our work. It says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." You know, when we're as a Gentiles and that, when we were away from God, we had no hope for salvation. We obeyed the gospel and were baptized. We had our sins washed away from us. So we're in a saved state. But it's conditional here. People hate to hear that, but it is conditional, says. He says, you know, now we've been reconciled. Verse 22, "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." In verse 23, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached unto every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." You know, it's an if there. There's a word if. That's a big, big, big word. It means it's conditional. We need to be doing things. We don't be just sitting around doing nothing after we've been baptized there and stuff. And in John 9 and in verse 4, Jesus is saying, "As long as it is day, I must do the work of him who sent me." We're doing this kind of work here. So we've got to be busy doing this work, and strength is important. Revelations 2 and Revelations 3, you see those letters to all those churches. Each one of those letters ends with, you know, at the end of each letter was, "He who overcomes." Not if you guys all together overcome, it's going to be good. But if it's an individual thing, if he overcomes, then he'll get these different rewards in that. So we need to have strength, though. So how do we build up our strength? Because we see that maybe in this congregation we know of members of that. We certainly know of members all around that were just so faithful, and then something happened, and they just plummeted, just failed away. I've known of people years and years in the congregations, and they had that flame out. Something happened there and stuff. So how do we build up our strength here? So again, strength is both physical and mental. And we'll see this, you know, we can build up our strength by good habits. So I invite you to go over to the book of 1 Kings. There's a famous one in there in 1 Kings with the story of Elijah here. And in verse 19, or in chapter 19 of 1 Kings in there. You know, poor physical strength, if you're sick, if you're going through some kind of physical ailments, if you're tired and that, it can affect us mentally. And our perception of things around us gets affected. And it's simply because we're not feeling good here. We look in 1 Kings 19, and let's start off in verse 1. This is right after Elijah has that duel with the prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Baal. What a scene that is, where he's taken on the 400 of these guys. He's got the entire nation watching him, and he defeats these people when God brings down the fire on the sacrifice, and they kill all of these prophets of Baal that are child sacrificing and doing all this kind of stuff. And he takes those on. But see what happens here. Chapter 19, verse 1, Ahab, who's the king, told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then he lay and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and when he went in strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." What's Elijah sound like to you? This guy is seriously depressed here. Why is he depressed? I said, Elijah ran for his life. Sounds like he didn't bring any food with him. He goes all this way traveling. Now he needs food and he needs sleep. Because he needs food and sleep, what's his mind telling him? Things are really, really bad. I wonder sometimes, I've seen it where people have committed suicide, and I wonder, did that guy get a good breakfast that morning? Something simple like that. Did you get a good nap or something? And then maybe you guys have been sick or something. You're just walking around like, you know, and when you say, "Oh, I feel like dying." It could be, yeah, I really do. I'm sick of this, you know. And it's because, no, you just need a sandwich or something. That's what you need and stuff. We don't take care of ourselves. We don't sleep when we're supposed to sleep. We don't eat the right kind of foods. And that affects us mentally. You get sick, it affects you mentally and stuff. We have to be very careful for that. And he doesn't understand because of this. He's not feeling good. So in verse 14, he repeats it. I've been zealous for the Lord God of hosts, and the children of Israel has forsaken your covenant. This is terrible. And he's killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. This is just terrible. Just kill me now here. But verse 18, God says, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth has not kissed him." There, he said, it's not true what you're thinking. You've got an skewed version of things because of how you're physically fit. I experienced this one time in the at Lucasville Prison. They had a riot there back in like 93, and they sent me there. Along with about a couple hundred other guys. They sent me there. Don't worry, I was never in any danger. I was up in this tower. And my job was, if something happened, I'd roll down the window. "Hey, guys, go get those guys, will you? I'll be up here filming the thing the whole time." That was my job. But they were really unorganized. Don't knock this over. The guy says it was really unorganized. So I'm up there for hours and didn't have any food and stuff. And those guys, I want to tell you, those guys I was up there with were really just so hard to get along with. They were terrible guys. There just wasn't, you know, just unfriendliest people I've ever met. I was so depressed. And I remembered this thing called HALTS. The word HALT, H-A-L-T. It means don't, if you're going to make a decision, don't be hungry, don't be angry, don't be lonely, don't be tired. If you're any one of those, don't make a decision. And on that thing. And I just realized, I said, "Mick, you're hungry," because sometimes they got us food, sometimes they didn't. And I thought, you know, hungry. So I looked around and there was a bunch of leftover foods, and of course, guys can get away with this. I said, "This stuff's not hot, but I'm going to eat it anyway." And then like the next day, I, you know, we're just sitting around, hurrying up and waiting. Nothing's happened out there. So I brought this cot the next day and I put it out there, down there in the lower levels, and I told the guy, I said, "Hey, if something happens, let me know. I'll get up there and start filming." So I started taking naps, and then, you know, got the right kind of. And I started, you know, after a while, those guys turned out to be really friendly guys. They really changed their attitudes after a while. And I said, it wasn't them. They were all the same. It was me. How I was feeling. I was away from the wife. We just stayed down there for that week or something. And I started realizing that stuff, and all of a sudden, I started feeling way better from that, because not being hungry or angry or lonely or tired, how I viewed this thing. So we look at that stuff. So we want to take care of ourselves. We don't want to be abusing our bodies, because it's going to affect us mentally here. Okay, we also misuse our strength too. We use our strength for the wrong things in there. Let's see, let's go back over to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. We worry about it. We use up a lot of strength worrying about things. in chapter 6 and verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature?" How much sleep have we lost worrying about stuff? Just couldn't get a good night's rest. We're just thinking about something and it's just preying on us. We end up not getting a very good sleep at all. We also spend a lot of our energy like judging other people. That's a great pastime of ours, you know, trying to solve that thing. We look there in chapter 7 in verses 1 through 5. It says, "Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eyes? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye." We spend all of this time looking at our brothers, and we're spending all that energy on something that we can't control. What we can control is what our body's doing, what our souls are doing. We concentrate on that. We use our energies for that. Then we do way better here. We need to be preparing ourselves. One of the things we do too is we fight over who's number one and stuff like that. We spend all that time. We look over in Mark, the 10th chapter, and Jesus resets it to what we should be spending our times on, our energies. And that is to be servants to other people. We look in Mark, the 10th chapter, and in verse 35, he says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' And he says to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your glory.' But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' So Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it was prepared for.'" So we're looking at in verse, so now the fight starts here, because they want to be on either side of Jesus. "And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John," starting to use up energy here on this thing. "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. For whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." We're spending all this time trying to win favors and stuff, and he's saying, "No, we don't do that here. We're not spending any of that time wasting our strength on that. We're going to serve each other and let that handle it that way and stuff." You know, so we're looking at this. So we're losing strength by not taking care of ourselves. We're losing strength by worrying, and we're losing strength by trying to be first. Which brings us up to our next way to build up strength, and that is through the church here. We can build up strength through the members here. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians here, and we've seen this one in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in about what God has provided, or what Jesus has provided for us to build us up individually here. We're looking in chapter 4 of Ephesians, and let's see, verse 11 here, he talks about this. In verse 11, he said he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, but and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things into Him who is the head, Christ, in whom, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself for love. You know, the church is to help us grow. That's one of the reasons that Hebrews 10:25 thing, you don't want to forsake the assembly. Forget about the 25, look at verse 24. We're to stir each other up for good works. That's the reason we get together, so we can help one another on these things. That, you know, we're to be built up. You know, we're given information here that helps build us up. 1 Peter 2 and 1, verse 1 through 3 is it's a desire of the pure milk of the word that we can grow thereby here. We want to be able to do that. So the church helps us, and we must help the brethren then. We help each other grow as well. So everybody is getting stronger by the whole work of the whole group here. We look over in Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians 6 is starting off in verse 1. Again, it kind of shows you here, this is an individual effort that we're looking at here. In chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." When we fall, we would like to have somebody help us back up, and we want that. So we're going to be striving to help others up ourselves. It says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But lest each one examine his own work." Again, we're looking at ourselves here. "Let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith." We're looking at this as individual thing, as a group though, but we're individuals, but we're helping one another up here. And as we have opportunity, you know, we got to be there to help each other up. So each one of us, if each one of us takes on our responsibility, what happens? The whole group grows much stronger. We do this. So this is time for analogy time here of this sermon. And pay attention, ladies, because I'll show you how this works. You guys ever notice how the church is going to be this way? How guys exercise together? I don't know if you've seen this. You just to go to a gym and don't participate, just watch. But you'll see, like, say this one's like, usually in groups of three or more, there'll be three guys exercising. And let's say it's the bench press. The bench press is where you lay on this bench, on your back, and you've got these weight, and you push this up, right? I don't know if you've seen that. And you can hit these massive amount of weights off the bench press. I think McCain Wright, we'd probably get like up to 50 pounds we're lifting right on that. You betcha. We're lifting a lot of weight there on it. Anyway, so you have three guys, three positions here. One guy is doing the exercise. The second guy is called the spotter. He stands there behind the machine, and he's just there in case the guy can't lift it up, and we don't want the bar to kill the guy or something. So he's there to spot for him and give him criticism that he doesn't need. But anyway, he just does that. The third guy, he just walks around looking strong. That's what they do, this guy, like that. Now, you have to do a series of presses with this thing. And what it is you want to tax the muscles till you can't lift it anymore. So the guy will be like his last couple, and he'll be pressing that thing, and he just barely gets it straight. And then what's the guys do? One more. Come on, man. One more. Give me one more. Give me one more. And if they're like me, I'm doing it. But other guys will go like, okay, and they drop that thing down to press it. Now, he might get that pressed back up, and he may not. And if he can't get it up, that spotter guy will just kind of gently grab the bar, and all he's doing is lifting and taking like 10, 15 pounds off the bar so that the guy can lift it up. Sometimes he needs to really grape it up there. And then he gets it up there. And then what's all the guys do? Yeah, man, that's the way to do it. That's the way. We're all gutturally and tribal stuff like that. Now, so we're going to do this like this in the church, except for all the guttural stuff. We don't do that. Well, we sort of do that. I don't know if you ever noticed Dave and me. David asks for, when it's his turn to preach, when I'm leading and singing, he says, hey, can you sing this song? And we've got different songs. And he's not trying to test me. That's what he said. He's not trying to test me, but he goes like, here's a song. Can you sing this song? And I said, I've never sang that song. So I practice it all week, and I'll get up here and I'll sing it. I don't know if you ever noticed, I'll sing it, and it's my going back to the chair. There's David going like that. He gives me that. That's right. So we do that there. All right, so after baptism, we will have our sins washed away. We rise up a new creature, and our sins are washed away. And then somebody's going to ask you in a couple of weeks, like, hey, think you could help out on the table here? I just got baptized. Do you think you could read a scripture? Think you could do that? Maybe lead a prayer? Help out these kind of things? And after a while, they say, think you could lead singing for us and stuff? And you start to see that. Hey, could you do a little bit more? Maybe, and eventually, could you teach a class? Or you could preach or something. And we're getting people out of their comfort zones. And then we got everybody around here. In case you're having trouble, don't worry. We're there giving you the help, that stuff. You ever seen a new person leading singing? And he said, well, if I get this song right, it doesn't matter. They're not listening to your directions anyway. And then as soon as that guy gets the first note out, everybody takes over, and he's just standing up there because everybody's lifting it up for him and stuff. And then we're congratulating him and patting him on the back and thanks for the help. And we start to build that individual members up there and stuff. We're not doing it to get on your nerves. It's just that they start to work this thing. It's like, just like that, you know. And we start to get really strong. I tell you, one of my first prayers involved 30 seconds of dead air time. I'm praying, and all of a sudden, I stopped. I'm just thinking, and all of a sudden, my brain kicks in, really big help. It's going like, Mick, you're not saying anything. I'm like, I know I'm not saying anything. You should be saying something. I know I'm supposed to say something. Think of something. I can't because you're talking. And I'm just like, for 30 seconds, I don't know what to do. And then one of the members next to me said, just say amen. I go, amen. And people said, good job, way to go. That's doing it. That gave us a lot of time to be thinking and meditating while you were doing it. Everybody was praising me on that thing. But, you know, that's what you just get out of a comfort zone, and you need to grow stronger doing things, because that's kind of our theme for the year. Hey, get out of your comfort zones and try some extra stuff. It's not that hard and everything. Okay, so finally, we can get strength in that from our Lord here. If we go into the book of Psalms here, in the 138th Psalm, Psalm 138 there, and we see this, that we can get strength from Him on that. We say Psalm 138, starting off in verse 1, says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, I will sing all the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But he is proud, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. There. We're looking at that verse 3. He's made me bold with the strength of my soul. We see that in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, it's again, he's not saying you can lift cars off of people. It's not that strength he's talking about, but to doing the will of the Lord, you can do all things through Christ there, through our prayers and that. We gain that strength in the knowledge that God's with us. In Joshua, the first chapter, verse 1 through 9, when they're going to go into Canaan, and the constant thing, verse in there is, be strong and of good courage. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. We see that in Matthew 28, in verses 18 through 20, when Jesus is getting ready to send out those apostles. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with us always in there. We gain strength through faith in God there. Let's look over there in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. You know, you think about that in Hebrews 11, all the stuff that these people were able to accomplish through faith, doing the things of God, God's behind them, all the things that they could do. We're looking at verse 30 there of Hebrews 11, there in verse 30. He says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings, of scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves in the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. We've received the promise. These folks, through faith, were able to do all these things. We can see that we're at the end of the line here of all these great things in there. So we see that we gain strength through the Lord. James 1 in verse 21 says, you receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We study the word, we grow stronger by doing that. And when he says in verse 23, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. We want that word to activate in us to build up our strength in their stuff. And we look over in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. When we study the word, when we're getting the word, we receive, you know, edification to build us up on how we're to be talking to other people, exhortation to do what's right. But you also get comfort there. When you're down, you're like kind of like Elijah in that cave. You can get that comfort there. And many times we don't bother with that. We're just trying to do this on our own here and stuff. So we're built up, we're made stronger, and we're comforted through the Word so that we don't lose our strength. So then if we take advantage of these things, our sources of strength, we will grow stronger. But our biggest hurdle here that we have to overcome is the attitude of, hey, what's the least that I need to be doing? What's the least minimum acceptable thing? I don't know if you've ever heard somebody talk to you about that. Like, you know, do I have to do this? Can I get by with this? What do you think? Can I get by with that thing? When we're taking that kind of attitude, you know, what's the least I hear that on, you know, the day of judgment, instead of well done, thy good and faithful servant, it's, okay, you can come in. That's acceptable. That's what I want. That's not what we want. We want to get that for sure, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We see that in Matthew 25 and 14 through 30, the parable of the talents. We want to hear that well done, the good and faithful servant. We don't want to be burying our talent in the ground and that's it there. But he says at the end, we want to hear that, well done, that good and faithful servant, not cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. And here's the thing, this is something that I just made up years ago. When I exercise, I say, just do what you can do, and that's all you can do. One of the problems is if you go exercise in a exercise place, is you have a tendency while you're exercising is to look around, and you're looking at what the big guys are doing, and you're going, man, I'm just doing really lightweight, and these guys are just knocking the machines out and stuff. But we have the tendency to start comparing ourselves with other people. We compare ourselves in the church with other members that have done a lot of things. And we go like, well, I can't lead singing and do all this kind of stuff. Well, I couldn't do it either. A lot of people couldn't do it. You're just seeing the end results on that stuff, how they do this thing. So what you do is you just compare yourself to yourself. That's all you're doing on it. And we fail to see the growth that we have when we're not looking at ourselves. We're just looking at other people and stuff. So, and also, this is a technique that you can do too when you're exercising and you're not really lifting the heavy weights. Doesn't matter. When you get off that machine, just as you get off the machine, there's like a rack of weights with a little pin. You just take that pin out, stick it to a much heavier weight, then leave. Because the guys will come and go like, wow, Mick was really, man, I can't even lift that. And they don't look how many that you're lifting there. They just notice you're on the machine and stuff. So you're going to build a, but if you do this, look at yourself, look for others to help you, take care of yourselves with what you're eating and drinking and that, and getting your sleep and that stuff. Your strength is going to improve. You're going to get a much stronger servant for the Lord there. You're going to build up your strength there. So that's tonight's sermon. So I hope it's been beneficial to you. We offer up this time for anybody that needs some help with anything, any way that we can assist you. We'll ask you to just come forward, let us know what you need. While we'll stand and we'll sing our song of invitation.